Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. Chris, man, softball, baseball, down to the state championships, track down to the state championships. Everybody's out of high school and schools are done, but they're still playing high school sports, man.
They are still playing high school sports, at least until this weekend. It is absolutely beautiful weather-wise. The problem is we don't know what's going to happen weather-wise on Saturday and Sunday with some of these tournaments finishing up. It kind of looks a little sketchy, so we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, I got to take in the Strasburg softball game yesterday against Hillsdale, the Division IV state semifinal. And, man, what a great game yesterday morning it was up at Firestone Stadium in Akron. Strasburg ended up winning 2-0 to advance to the D4 state title game. They'll play tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on June 4th at Firestone against Crestview, who beat Williamsburg 10-1. Crestview and Strasburg kind of a rival when they get into these championship games. We'll have to wait and see what happens, but Strasburg looked very good. Junior pitcher Hannah Duff threw a three-hit shutout. Kim Addy and Morgan Kreitz were great defensively. They really had good defensive games, the second baseman and shortstop for the Tigers. Addy had a great play where she got into a rundown after a Hannah Keffer bunt that she ended up getting into a rundown and ended up having Keffer being safe at first. She advanced to second in the rundown, and then Addy made a great PD slide into home plate, got him the 2-0 lead. That was really key, I think, into the Tigers' victory. You know, Duff ended up closing it out at the end. They had two on, one out at the plate. The girl hit a long, deep fly ball to left field that would have been a walk-off had it been about 10 feet farther. But instead, it put the Tigers in the title game. Hannah Riefenschneider had a great game commanding, you know, Hannah Duff on the mound, and she made a couple pickoff plays, girls trying to steal second base. So the Hannahs, all three of them, played really well for the Tigers, and they play for the state title tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun game. You and your daughter Brittany did a fantastic job covering the game for us. And if you want to go back and look at some of the pictures and some of the highlights, you can go to our website and our Facebook page, WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook, and also follow us on Twitter at @big_z_sports. You can go back and relive the game if you want. But congratulations to Strasburg as they head for another state championship game in softball. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. You know, Coach Weisgarber and his staff just do a great job up there, and you know, it was fun. You know, I'm glad I got to take Brittany up. She did all the tweets for me. She did a great job doing batter by batter, you know, stats. I did some video and some pictures on Facebook and tried to keep up a little bit. But if you wanted batter by batter, play by play, basically, you know, you could just follow her on Twitter at @big_z_sports. And, you know, it was great for her to experience a state semifinal. And I told her, you know, this is what you need to do as a senior leader next year to motivate your team to play here instead of sitting in the stands. So,
sure.
You know, and it was a good time.
It was neat to see her tweeting under our Twitter handle. And, you know, she was ahead of all the other local media outlets that were covering the game for the area. I think those 17-year-old fingers were a little faster than everybody else.
Yeah.
So she did a nice job tweeting. So, Brittany, thank you very much, and we owe you. So.
Today, just finishing up just a few minutes ago, the Highland Hawks, they will play for the Division III state title tomorrow at 4 o'clock at Huntington Park in Columbus. They get the 3-0 win over Versailles. They play the winner of Clear Fork and Wayndale. So, you know, we've got a little bit of interest in Wayndale. They're just kind of on the outskirts of our area. We covered them a little bit in football when they were playing so well. And, of course, Micah, one of our stringers, graduated from Wayndale. So, you know, we keep our tabs on them. Be pretty cool to see Wayndale and Highland in the championship game in Division III.
Yeah, schools that are separated by about a half an hour. Going to play maybe for the state championship Division III, which would be really cool. And, yeah, Micah Yoder, like you mentioned, one of our stringers, graduated from Wayndale, I believe, like 6 or 7 years ago maybe, played baseball for him. And, you know, he's excited. He texted me this morning. He said, man, we get to play Highland if we win. You know, that would be really cool, which for area, that would be really awesome.
But if you're a Hawk fan or a Golden Bear fan, you know, head down to the game. Go down to Columbus if you don't have anything going on this weekend. you know, and take in the game, support the kids. But yeah, I believe Fox Sports Time Ohio, or I believe Sports Time Ohio or Fox Sports one of the two, has the games on, kind of like they do in football and the championship game. So you'll be able to catch Strasburg as well. Strasburg will be on Big Time Sports, I'm sure. Also with Charlie Jones being a, you know, a big Stras Vegas supporter.
I would agree. And, you know, Stras Vegas, Highland, those are the two teams left. We never, you know, we didn't think that Strasburg would be there, so to speak. But you know what? They got hot at the right time. Highland's been good all year. And Eric Mullett, you know, had a great game pitching today and to lead the Hawks to a 3-0 shutout.
Yeah, he had a 3-hit shutout, complete game, 8 strikeouts. Brian Yoder was 1-for-2 with 2 RBI. Tyson Gingrich was 2-for-2 with an RBI. So there's your runs for Highland over Versailles. Again, they play the winner of Clear Fork and Wayndale. That game's later on today. The D3 state title, 4 o'clock tomorrow, Huntington Park in Columbus and Strasburg. They will play Crestview tomorrow morning up at Firestone at 10 a.m.
Yeah, so good luck to both teams remaining. Also, good luck to the track athletes that are competing at the state championship at all levels this weekend as well for the, you know, for their schools that they're not in school anymore. So I think it's kind of neat that, you know, the seniors, this is their really last link to high school is they're still competing for state championships.
You're playing for high school even though you don't go to high school anymore.
Absolutely. Legally, you're out, but you're still there.
So, right. It's kind of weird.
Chris, headlines are coming up, but first, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @big_zsports and on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. Chris, time for headlines.
It is time for headlines, and the Cleveland Cavaliers looked like horrid crap last night as they got beat 104-89. They looked unprepared. They looked out of sync. Game one of the NBA Finals goes to Golden State. The bad thing is you hold Golden State's big three. Steph Curry to 11 points, 6 assists. Klay Thompson, 9 points, 5 rebounds. Draymond Green, 16 points, 11 boards. You're thinking, man, those three guys have a combined 36 points. We probably won that game.
Well, yeah, if I'd have showed you that box score this morning saying, hey, we held their big three to 36 points, you'd have said, man, we'd have kicked the tar out of them.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Cavs forgot about their bench players.
Yeah, and here's the stats from three of the bench guys. How about Sean Livingston? Career-high 20 points in the playoffs.
It's crazy.
Barbosa, 11 points. Iguodala, 12 points. And they just blew it open from there. It was just I thought the Cavs looked very unprepared. I thought Tyronn Lue looked like a first-time finals coach in his adjustments and substitutions. I don't think there was any. Every time the Cavs would get close and bring it back down to three, or they even took the lead there, I think, late in the third quarter, and Golden State would just go on another run. And, you know, it was kind of funny because it had nothing to do really with Steph Curry or Klay Thompson all night long.
Yeah, they both, in fact, they weren't shooting very well, neither one of them. And Thompson got into early foul trouble. He got 3 fouls pretty quick. And, you know, they took him out for a little bit, let him play. But, you know, it's amazing to me. I think the Cavs had a good game plan, believe it or not. They were getting a lot of isolations and a lot of one-on-ones. You couldn't really stop LeBron getting to the hoop. But 23 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists for LeBron. Kyrie, you know, he scored more points. He scored 26, I believe.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He wasn't shooting worth the crap.
Right. He had 26 and 4 assists.
At one point, I was like, stop shooting the ball, because he was making bad shots.
Yeah.
And taking rush shots and forcing them up. And J.R. Smith, where was he at last night?
Terrible.
I mean,
he was absolutely. Him and Shumpert were terrible.
Defensively, and then Kevin, for a little bit, Shumpert played well.
Right.
And he hit a big three early on, but
that was it. Yeah. That was the only three he hit. Yeah. And then so he hits a big three early on. And J.R. Smith hits a big three to end the game, and that's what they finished with.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. And then, you know, you look at Kevin Love, yeah, he had 17 points and 13 rebounds. How many layups did he miss?
A few.
A few?
A few too many.
He
can make 22-footers, but he can't make 2-footers.
Right. Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson. Might as well say Klay Thompson. Tristan Thompson played well. 10 points, 12 rebounds. You know it's bad whenever, you know, Mozgov comes in and gets you a couple points and a couple rebounds at the end of the game. But here's the stat line on J.R. Smith. He had 3 points in 36 minutes. Shumpert had 3 points in 17 minutes. Jefferson had 3 points in 12 minutes. And Channing Frye had 2 points. And Dele had 2 points in about 10 minutes apiece.
Sorry, but Dele needs to stop playing. I'm not a Dele fan. He needs to go. I mean, he is not
okay,
a good
player.
Okay,
what do you think about the whole slap in the groin of Iguodala last
night? It was
night.
An accident.
I agree with you 100%.
He was going for the ball. And he probably thought Iguodala was going to cross over, and he was trying to go to swipe right. the ball out of there. Well, he didn't, and he accidentally hit him in the groin. You know what? It happens. It wasn't intentional.
It wasn't a Draymond Green kick.
No. You know, and I'm glad no technicals or flagrants were given on it because I think it was totally inadvertent.
Right. I agree 100%. Hopefully the Cavs come back a little bit better in game two. I do think that was a must-win for Golden State. I think if Golden State loses game one, they lose a series. I think Cleveland comes back and wins game two. I think it's going to be a good series. I would be surprised to see Cleveland lose at home. That's why I think that if they get one on the road, they're going to be fine. You do not want to go to a game seven. So in my opinion, Cleveland needs to roll here, you know, especially the two games at home. You'd like to get this game here, go up 3-1, and then try and close out at home in game six. You do not want to go back to Oracle for a game seven. So if Cleveland's going to do it, I think they've got, you know, I think they've got five games to do it, and they got to win four of the five, in my opinion.
No, I agree. And I think the defensive game plan last night on Thompson and Curry was well planned out. I think they need to continue with that, maybe make some adjustments if Golden State makes those adjustments. But I think they got to worry about guarding their bench, and their bench is better than our bench, you know, if you look at it. But Shumpert's got to come to play. J.R. Smith has to come to play. You know,
Frye.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting him to get 10, 15, 18 points last night. He didn't shoot the ball well. So it's going to be an interesting series. I think it's going to be going on for a little bit. I think maybe six, possibly seven games. I don't want to see it to go to a seventh game because I think the Cavs would not fare well in a game seven. But you know, let's get one Sunday and hopefully come back and get two more in Cleveland, go up 3-1. I think that's the only way we'll have them down and get them down 3-1. But I think the Cavs are smart enough to know how to finish them after they get them up 3-1.
Yeah, and game two, like you mentioned, is Sunday night at 8 o'clock. The two Sunday games are at 8 o'clock. Every other game for the NBA Finals is at 9. So just for the record on that one. And then the other sports series that's in finals is the Stanley Cup Finals and the Pittsburgh Penguins, which
They're
are close to us.
Hockey?
Yeah, they are still playing hockey.
Wow.
Game 3 is Saturday night at 8 o'clock. The Pens lead the Stanley Cup Finals 2-0 over the San Jose Sharks. Again, that game tomorrow night in San Jose, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, of course, I've got the rooting interest of the Penguins. So, you know, Sidney Crosby's been great. The rookie goaltender for the Penguins, Matt Murray, has been huge. Goaltending on both sides has been really good in the Eastern Conference Finals and now in the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, it's pretty good series, pretty exciting series. The game the other night went into overtime, and, you know, rookie Sheary got a great shot and, you know, banked one home in the overtime. So Penguins up 2-0.
Just do me a favor.
Yes.
Keep me posted on that because I don't think I'll see any games.
I will. The Cleveland Indians, they had their second walk-off in a row last night as they beat Kansas City 5-4 at home. Mike Napoli knocked in Francisco Lindor to win it. You know, the Indians are playing well, 28-24, second in the AL Central. Game 2 of 4 against the defending champions is tonight at 7:10. Indians continue to play well. Yan Gomes got the walk-off the night before. Pretty cool to see the Indians playing well and beating the defending champs late in games. I think that they said something about, I believe it was Kansas City, I think was 21-0 when leading after 7 innings, or 27-0 when leading after 7 innings. And the Indians snapped out last night.
Yeah, the Indians have been playing well. They're doing good things. And, you know, I think, you know, Marlon Byrd getting suspended, I think is going to give them a chance for their young guys to play.
Yeah, it's going
to
bring Naquin up. And Naquin played well until he got sent back down whenever Bradley came back up. Now Bradley's back down. That gets him a chance to come up now. And he'll probably stay with Byrd gone now.
Sure, and I think they need to make a trade to get another arm. I think Tomlin's been pitching well, but how long is that going to last? He's 7-1 now, got roughed up in his last start. Kluber's Kluber. You know, he's going to pitch well. Sometimes he doesn't get the run support he needs. Other times he gives up six or seven runs.
Well, Carrasco just came back.
Yeah. So they got Carrasco. Then they'll have Salazar as well. But I think the offense is there for them. I think they need maybe an arm or two as well.
They need Percy. Bring Percy up and bring him out of the pen.
Go for it. You know, might as well, and give him the opportunity to play at the big league level. But maybe in September.
Absolutely. And then your Reds, they actually pounded the Rockies last night, 11-4. They're 19-35, fifth in the NL Central. They begin a weekend series at home against the Washington Nationals tonight at 7:10.
Dusty Baker back in the Natty.
Is that all you're concerned about? They pounded the Rockies 11-4.
It's the Rockies.
Okay.
Well, then when they play somebody good like they will this weekend, you'll see what happens.
My Pirates have lost two in a row now to the Marlins. They lost last night 4-3 to fall to 29-24. They're still second in the NL Central behind the Red Hot Cubs. They start a weekend home series against the Angels tonight at 7:05. NASCAR news. Martin Truex Jr. did something Sunday that has never been done in NASCAR, never been seen. I mean, he absolutely flat dominated the Coke 600. I've never seen a car that dominant. I've been watching racing a long time. This dude led 392 of 400 laps.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I was flipping around on Sunday. I watched a little bit of the Indianapolis 500, the last about 12 laps I caught of the 500. And then later on, I watched a little bit of the Coke 600. And every time that I turned it on, Truex still going around in the lead. Still going. I thought it was just like a replay.
I know.
And I mean, I never saw anyone else in the lead.
He was never passed under green for the lead. Wow. The only time that he gave up the lead was on pit stops. You know, you only lead eight laps in a 400 lap race on a mile and a half oval. You know, it's never been done. I mean, nobody was even close. I think like 50-some years ago, somebody ran, you know, like 312 laps or something, but it was so long ago. As much parity as we have in NASCAR, as competitive as this season has been, for somebody to go out and lead all but eight laps in a 400-lap race is astounding. It's a great story. He's had so much hard luck. I don't know if you remember, but he was the guy that lost by inches at the Daytona 500. You know, his longtime girlfriend is a cancer survivor. The family's been through a lot. He drives for a team that's the only team that's not based in Charlotte, North Carolina. They're actually based in Denver, Colorado. Furniture Row Racing Denver Mattress is normally on the car. They have Bass Pro Shops that comes on once in a while. Barney Visser, been around the sport a long time. The only team based out in Colorado, a one-car team. They battled for the championship last year, and now they come out and absolutely flat dominate the Coke 600, one of the crown jewels in NASCAR. And Truex punches his ticket to the chase, so pretty cool deal.
What do you have any idea who led the other eight laps?
No, to be honest with you, I actually watched it after, right? I got back from the 500, and I was flipping around and kind of had to skim through because he was just tearing it up. I think Jimmy Johnson led a lap or two. I don't even know. It's hard to say. I don't know who led him. Edwards maybe a couple before he had a pit stop penalty. But I mean, you know, Jimmy Johnson finished third. Kevin Harvick was your runner up. You know, it's pretty crazy race. Congrats to Truex.
Sure.
And then the Indianapolis 500, of course, I was there. Young American rookie who spent pretty much his whole life in Europe. He's from California, but he spent his life in Europe. He was a Formula One test driver last year. He raced, I think, in seven Formula One races last year. His best finish was 13th. Kind of, you know, one of those kids that's just trying to come into his own, trying to make a splash in the sport. He didn't have the sponsor money, got released from his F1 team. Michael Andretti worked a deal with his old partner, Brian Herta, his former driver, Brian Herta, to bring Alexander Rossi in and give him a shot to run an IndyCar. Nobody knew how long it was going to last. The crazy thing was Brian Herta owned Dan Weldon's car when Weldon won the 100th anniversary Indianapolis 500 in 2011. You know, he makes a great pit call. Alexander Rossi goes off fuel strategy, goes 36 laps longer than anybody else, basically coasts across the finish line at like 60 mile an hour and wins the 100th Indianapolis 500 as a rookie. Pretty impressive. Napa got the best deal in sports. They signed to go with Michael Andretti's team and Alexander Rossi for $300,000 for 2 weeks. And he ran up front all day, was in the top 10 most of the day, was the fastest rookie qualifier. So Napa got a huge ton of coverage. Now they're all over every print media in the world for him winning the race. And, you know, they ended up hopping on board for this weekend's duel in Detroit. up north, up at Belle Isle. So, you know, congratulations, Alexander Rossi. I hate fuel mileage races, but it was exciting at the finish. You know, when you're sitting there, you know guys are short. You know, you're listening to the PA and other people talk and radio and whatnot, and you kind of know, but you don't know the strategy of somebody watching on TV like you was. And we knew that it was going to be close. We knew most everybody else was going to have to pit. It was just a question of who was going to give it a shot, and Rossi gave it a shot. Ends up, you know, an American rookie wins the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. It was pretty cool, pretty special. I was drinking my milk, posted a couple of videos on Facebook. It was,
I texted you at one point in time during the towards the end of it. I don't remember who was in the lead, if Rossi was in the lead, but I caught something. They said he's about a half lap to a lap short on fuel. And I text you that. I said, dude's going to run out of gas. And
right.
I got no response. But then,
I didn't get it until I got back to the car. Gotcha. So that's why I didn't respond. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're so involved in what you're doing. And, sure. You know, I mean, it's.
But, yeah, it looked like he was creeping along going across that finish line. I'm like, did he run out?
Yeah, he ran out coming off turn four. He said he learned something mid-race.
Okay.
He was behind Scott Dixon, who's a IndyCar champion, Indy 500 winner. And he said he kind of, the car slipped on him in a corner, and he had to back out of the throttle. And when they come off the corner and come back down the start finish line, he didn't lose that much ground. And he said, so I kind of learned something to where I could back out of the throttle and try and save fuel. And the last couple laps, I guess he would gas it through the corners and then clutch it the whole way down the front straight, the whole way down both straightaways. He would just hold the clutch in because the clutch is on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
He would just clutch it the whole way down the whole way down the straightaway. Went into the corner, powered it through the corners, and then clutched it again. And that's however he did it. But a rookie who's never had to race for fuel mileage, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Ends up winning on fuel mileage. And here's the last thing I'm going to say about the Indy 500, and this is kind of a crazy story. The night before, Michael Andretti has a big party, kind of a dinner for his whole team to celebrate, hey, the Indy 500 is tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Rossi said on his way to this dinner, he likes to mess around with himself in his cars and see how far he can push his fuel mileage, which is kind of funny. It's kind of ironic. He said he was 2 miles away from where the dinner was. And you know how your gas will give you, you know, you have so many projected miles, you know, 32 miles left in the tank.
I like to push it as well.
His was at zero. So he had 0 miles of fuel left and made it the 2 miles to dinner, turns around the next day and wins the Indy 500 on fuel mileage. Tell me that ain't weird.
Guy's smart. Knows what he's doing.
Kind of crazy. But yeah, it was a good time. And IndyCar's in the duel in Detroit Saturday and Sunday. They have doubleheaders Saturday and Sunday up in Detroit, Michigan, Belle Isle. NASCAR's at Pocono this Sunday. It looks like it's probably going to rain there. But the IndyCars will be running, whether it rains or not, in Detroit.
Sure. And Pocono, if I remember right, it's like a triangle, right?
Yeah, and it's it was nothing but a foggy mess this morning over there from what I seen. There were some drivers tweeting and stuff that I seen, and you couldn't see. If you were standing in the pits, you couldn't see across the front straightaway to the grandstands. It was so foggy. So,
Another fun weekend, and again, I appreciate all your coverage and Brittany's coverage at the state semifinal.
It was a blast.
Yesterday, and again, good seeing you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Go Cavs.
Absolutely. With that, this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Podcast will come to a close. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying thank you for listening to the Big Z Sports Podcast.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.